Fantastic. It's so great to be with you all this morning. And just a few little opening comments before I get right into the preaching of the word. So we gave away Joel, our son, to you guys, who's your youth pastor. We've also had Pastor Tom and Sue up at our church speaking earlier this year. And they really ministered to our leaders and to our church in a powerful way. Really fantastic time of ministry there. I've had the privilege of being here before, and this is my second time to come and encourage you as the body of Christ down here. So, in a couple of weeks' time, we've got Pastor Amber, your children's pastor and family's pastor, coming up to Napier to train our children's church leadership team. So we've got this little connection between us, which is absolutely fantastic. I just wanted to do something really quick. If you are somebody that likes to read about a life-changing testimony, I need you to do something really courageous. Get up out of your seat and come up here quickly, right now. If you want a life-changing testimony, you want to read it, come on up and grab, and I'll just wait here for a minute. What about someone else who actually likes to be inspired by people that have made something of their life, or they can get inspired by somebody who didn't do well and it inspires them to do well in their life? Just come on up quickly if that's you. Yep, there's one more. Well, you can stay up here too, because we don't want you to miss out. You're going to go for the foundations series that I've got, want to give you. And there's one fourth person. Who would like to know about the character and nature of Christ a little bit more? Quickly, come on up here if that's you. Come on up. All right, so I've actually been able to write a few books over the last few years. This one is a life-changing testimony about my life-changing story of how I came back to Christ. That's yours to keep. This is to inspire you to live a life that will go 100% for Jesus. That'll be awesome for you. I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk, but you, because I don't want you to miss out, you're getting the Christian Foundation series, and you are getting the character and nature of Christ. So God bless you. Yeah, and enjoy. Fantastic. Let me just open this time in prayer, and I hope you're ready to hear God's word being preached this morning. I want to pray, Lord. Father God, we just want to pray right now for the power of the Holy Spirit to be here. I thank you for each person who's come out this morning in this church and listening in online. I thank you, Lord, for all of the people that have come with hearts open to hear what you would have to say to them today. And Lord, we invite you to be here by your Spirit. We pray that you would encourage us, that you would teach us, that you would train us this morning. And we, Lord, pray that you give us listening ears and open hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you know, the thing is in life, that life can be so unpredictable sometimes. There can be joys and sorrows, beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties. And often these times come unexpectedly. You can be minding your own business, just walking through life, and suddenly something happens, and something happens to you or somebody you love, and they get a sickness that's really, really life-threatening or challenging, and they don't know what the outcome's going to be. Maybe, you know, through coronavirus, you've lost your job, and suddenly you thought you had job security for many, many years, but hello, you've kind of been called into the boss's office and suddenly you've been let go because there's just no income to continue to pay you. Maybe you've had a relationship bust up and you thought everything was going sweet in your marriage, that everything was going okay, and suddenly somebody who you thought loved you and had committed their life to you has suddenly turned their back on you and abandoned you and walked away. Listen, life can turn ugly sometimes. Life can give us some really challenging moments. And just because we're believers doesn't mean that everything's going to go okay. What God promises us isn't that we will avoid distress and problems. What God promises us is that He will hold our hand and He'll walk with us through the challenges and difficulties that come our way. If you're going through a tough time this morning, listen, I hope that I can encourage you to dig deep into your spirit, not beyond the circumstances and beyond the things that are obvious and logical and looking around on the outside. And I want you to look deep in your heart and try and get revelation from God about who He is and how much he loves you in the midst of your suffering and in the midst of your trial and challenge that you're going on. There was a guy called Horatio Spafford, quite an interesting name. And he was somebody that knew intimately about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and real estate investor who immigrated from the UK over to America when they were sending people over to America to explore that land. And he lost his fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Around the same time as he lost all of his fortune, his beloved son died of scarlet fever. And so he thought, oh my gosh, I've had a hard year. It's been tough. And he thought, I'm going to send my wife and four daughters on a vacation back to England, to the homeland where we came from, because our family just needs to regroup. We just got to get some, you know, some regrouping going on here. So he sent his wife and four daughters off on a ship. He thought the vacation would do them good, and he was planning to meet them after he finished some business in America. However, the news wasn't good, because while they were crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all four of his daughters. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the heartache he's going through? His wife, Anna, survived the tragedy. And upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England. And during the voyage, as they passed over the spot where the tragedy had occurred, the captain informed him, "This is exactly where the ship went down, and this is where you lost your four daughters." Horatio took some time to think about his daughters, and words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind. And there was something on the inside of Horatio that went deep. It wasn't just the surface circumstances of chaos and tragedy that had hit his life, but there was something deep down on the inside that caused him to well up with something and some powerful, powerful words that can continue to inspire us today. He wrote some words that became the words of a well-known hymn, and it went like this.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life, thou hast taught me to say,
we can't always predict that everything's going to go well in our lives. Horatio didn't have a clue what was on the agenda for his life, that he would lose his son, he would lose his businesses and fortunes, everything that was near and dear to him, and his four daughters as well. And yet, there was something on the inside of him that said, I can still trust in God. Everything's okay. It's all going to be fine. God's got this. There will always be storms to face. Sometimes there will be tragedies. This year we've had coronavirus, something that came out of nowhere and affects our whole nation and our lives. Is there hope for our world at this time? Is there hope for us as Christians? Do we have a refuge and a protector and a helper at these times? Let me tell you, yes, yes, yes. God is a good God, and he will take care of you. With a faith in a loving God, and with trust in his divine help, we can confidently say, it is well with my soul. I've called this message, All is Well. And if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Reading from the New Living Translation, and this will be the key passage for us this morning. I want to acknowledge the people listening in online as well, and encourage you just to track with us wherever you're looking from in the world. And if you will turn in this passage of Scripture with us as well. Romans chapter 8, starting from verse 31. Here we go. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know, the early Christians at that time when this passage was written were fighting for their physical lives and their spiritual survival. They were wondering if their faith would actually help them overcome at that time. The Roman Empire was actually taking over the known world at that time through pretty persuasive means, pretty horrific means, and they were trying to stamp out Christianity and make it difficult for people to live. But the Bible here is promising us victory. The Apostle Paul knew that they were facing odds and trials. He himself went through many, many trials. But he assures us right here in his writing that God promises you and I victory. And by studying this passage, we too can gain assurance of knowing that victory is ours, even in the most challenging situations, if we will stand fast and hold on to our faith that we have in God. I want to talk to you this morning about four great reminders that all is well when we hold on to God. Number one, all is well when we know that we have ultimate power. Listen, you can't get more power than the power of God. He's the God that says he has all power and all authority. You think somebody's trying to keep you down? You think something's designed to take you out? Listen, we have power that we don't even know that we have as believers. We have the almighty power of God. Romans 8, verse 31, back to our key passage. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? The early Christians had lots of challenges that they had to face in their day versus Rome. There were crucial moments in the Apostle Paul's life when his belief in God was seriously tested and undermined. Like in Lystra, when Paul was stoned by the townspeople and left for dead on the side of the road. How did this come about? He had been preaching the gospel and healed a cripple. And this is the thanks he got. Thanks a lot, people. You know, I just heal somebody and this is what you do. You kill me. How could God let this happen? Was the devil stronger than God? We can feel defeated when we're wronged, even when we think we've done the right thing. Paul assured us that the Romans and the Roman Christians, that there was no power that was greater than the almighty power of God. Listen, even under that Roman regime, he was still able to pen those words, and the Apostle Paul had been stoned and left for dead, he could still say, victory is yours through Jesus Christ. If God is for us, then who can be against us? No one can defeat us because we're tapping into ultimate power. There was an old preacher, and he was challenged by an educated agnostic. And this agnostic said to the old preacher, why do Christians claim victory in the battle for eternity? And the old preacher replied, well, it says at the beginning of my Bible that God is in charge. Then I flip over to the end of the Bible and read that God is still in charge. So I figure that if God's in charge at the beginning and the end, there's nobody else in between that's big enough to defeat him. At times we're feeling like we're fighting powers that we can't defeat. How can we defeat forces that are strong enough to overturn the moral structure of our nation, which we see happening right now in our society, that can wreck marriages, that can bring so many hardships into our lives? All through history, there have been some victories of darkness. Listen, I can tell you, we lose some of the battles, but we don't lose the war. God wins in the end. Read the end of the book. But there have been some victories for the powers of darkness. Communism, fascism, war, immorality, persecution. Some victories, and we might be going through a phase of that right now in our society where things are going backwards from the perspective of a Christian, but we've got to hold on to the power of God that can actually overcome everything that's coming against us. God has always brought down wickedness and brought the church out victoriously. Just like Moses when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 6:23, he brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land that he swore to give our ancestors. God didn't save us or you to let you be defeated. He saved you to bring you into heaven victoriously. If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen, I'm not underestimating the power of the challenge that you're going through right now. There could be people in this room right now. You're going through heartache. You're going through tragedy. You're going through crisis. You're going through trauma. There's unbelievable things that can go on in our lives. In an instant, something can change and our world can go upside down. But let me tell you, if you put your hope in God and in the power of God, and you keep trusting him and depending upon him, he can help you through. Hold his hand. Don't let go and let him come out on top and you to come out on top with him, regardless of what you go through in your life. All is well when we know we have ultimate power. Number two, all is well when we know that we have unlimited supply. Listen, who are you trusting? Are you trusting your job? Are you trusting your boss? Are you trusting yourself or you're trusting God? It's God who has to be the source of our provision and financial security. Romans 8 verse 32, back to our key passage. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Listen, if you have a need in your life today, stop trying to deal with it in your own strength. Us humans are so bad at that. We think we can do better than God. We take over his job so many times. Why don't we just tap into the source of all provision, God himself, and let him be the provider of our needs? Some people seem to go around like they've been defeated as Christians. Oh, the devil's after me. He's got me beaten. He's afflicting me. I hope I don't fall into sin. I hope I can just make it into heaven. How big is our God, people? Is he someone that we leave at church when we walk out of here on Sunday? Someone who can't hear us or see us or our situations. Let me remind you, he is the maker of all the stars that are in the sky. He causes the wind to blow. He causes the sun to shine. He orders the future. He has all power and unlimited resources. Our God is the living God, the God of Moses and Elijah, the God that can raise someone from the dead, the God that can walk on water or open somebody's eyes. That's the God we serve. He's also the God that fellowships with us, walks with us, and converses with us. God is big. He's a big, big God, and he's a big, big provider. Many times people in the Bible lacked resources, but they kept their faith in God and saw him come through. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. One of the things I found in my own life is I can just try to get resources my own way in my own strength. The quicker you learn that we got to actually let God provide for us rather than us trying to provide for ourselves or expecting somebody else to provide. Listen, God's the one that owns everything and he can provide for your needs. Verse 32 of our key passage, Paul reminded the Romans of God's unlimited supply. He says that because he gave us his only son, he'll give us everything else we need as well. We need to ask in faith. We need to lay hold of him to provide it for us. James 5, verse 16b, the earnest prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Listen, it is all well when we know that we have unlimited supply. Number three this morning, it is all well when we know that we have unending forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty glad God forgives me freshly because I keep making mistakes. You know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. We're all on a journey of faith. And we think things and we say things and we do things that are not pleasing to God. We need to be people that are recipients of God's fresh forgiveness. Let me tell you, he offers us unending forgiveness. There's no end to it. He'll continue to forgive us if we're sincere. Going back to our key passage, Romans 8, verse 33 and 34, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen as his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Thank you, Jesus. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. There was a woman that went to church with her son, and the speaker was quoting and preaching from Isaiah 53, verse 6. And asked her to simply take God at his word and depend on Jesus from start to finish for her salvation. She went home so happy, rejoicing, just feeling like everything was going well. But the next morning, after she'd had one night of sleep, she came downstairs with tears in her eyes. And her little boy, who'd been with her at church the night before, asked her, "Mum, what's the matter?" She said, "Last night I felt like I was saved, but not now." He said, "Mama, get your Bible and turn to Isaiah 53, verse 6. She did. "Mama, is that verse still there?" "Yes," she said. "Well then," he said, "if that verse is still there and you laid your sins on Jesus last night, then your sins are still there too." She realized that from that moment on, through her son, that she needed to depend not on her feelings, but she needed to depend on God's word. Hard times come to everybody. Our personal walk can have times where we feel dry and disconnected from God and out of touch. Listen, our faith is not dependent on feelings. If you're a young Christian in here today, the quicker you learn that you have to rely on God and his word, it's a faith journey, not a feelings journey. Feelings are a bonus. That's the icing on the cake. But the cake itself is faith in God and his word. Listen, start to believe that God has forgiven you, accept his forgiveness, receive it, and walk in the victory of his forgiveness. We have things that go wrong. Yes, we have sickness. We might lose a job. We might have separation from a partner. A catastrophe may happen, and we may feel that God has abandoned us. The Apostle Paul, who wrote our key passage, man, if he knew about suffering and pain. Read about the life of Paul. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was jailed. He was betrayed and he was persecuted. But he still had total faith in God and continued to follow him all the days of his life. What an inspiration he is to us as we continue to read his words that he wrote and get fresh encouragement in our heart as we continue the faith journey that we're on. In Romans 8, verse 28, a well-known verse, overquoted, sometimes not actually received as revelation because we pass it by because it's so well-known. Let me tell you, you've got to receive this freshly again today. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. There was a Scottish preacher named MacLeod Campbell. What a beautiful Scottish name. And he was asked by a friend, tell me, how do you know that you have always got a hold of God? He answered, I wish I could do a Scottish accent, but I can't. He answered, I don't always know I've got a hold of God, but I do always know that he always has a hold on me. All is well when we understand we got unending forgiveness. Listen, don't have stale forgiveness. You know, we can be a Christian for so long, we get stale. Oh, I got forgiven 20 years ago. What about what you did last week? What about yesterday? Come on, you can't rely on what happened years ago. Get some fresh forgiveness today. It's unending forgiveness. God is offering it to you today. You can be a recipient of his forgiveness again today. Number four, and my final point today, all is well when we know that we have unswerving love. Back to our key passage. It's just such an incredible scripture. Verse 38 and 39, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels, demons, fears for today, worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow! Do you know that God continues to pour out his love even when we stop loving him? He continues to love us when we're unfaithful towards him. What an incredible God that we serve, that loves us unconditionally. He doesn't love us just when we're perfect. He doesn't love us when everything's going right. Yes, he does, but he loves us as well when we're ugly and when things aren't going well. Love is one of the most powerful motivators in the world. Many battles have been fought against seemingly big, large odds, undefeatable foes, and have been won because of love for country, family, or the king or queen. Paul said he was persuaded of the love of God. And there's a Greek word which is petho or pepismo. And that's the word persuaded. And it literally means that he was convinced against his former belief and won over. He was persuaded about the love of God. In other words, Paul experienced a change of mind that God does indeed love us with an unstoppable, unconditional love. Some of us, listen, God's not the problem. We are. He'll continue to pour out his love towards you and I, but will you receive it? That's the million-dollar question. Us humans are the ones that stops God's love and forgiveness, not the other way around. Ephesians 3, verse 18, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. Romans 5, verse 7 and 8. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. All is well, people, when we are recipients and understand that God has unswerving love. As I bring this message to a close, I want to tell you a bit of a funny story, but some of you animal lovers might find it a bit freaky. It's about Chippy the parakeet. And Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided that he would clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose, stuck it into the cage, and then the phone rang and she turned to answer it. She'd barely said hello when and the parakeet was sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. The bird owner gasped, as you can only imagine, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially taken the story and put it in the paper went back to find out about Chippy and how the bird was actually recovering. And the owner said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." You know, it's hard not to see why, when we're sucked in, washed up and blown over, that's actually enough to steal the song from any of our hearts. But here's the thing, Horatio Spofford, whatever he was, he had a revelation in his heart that even though he went through chaos and tragedy and trauma and unbelievable, horrific situations in his life, he was able to tap into something deeper on the inside that said, it is well with my soul. Let's just have a listen to that.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever.
If I could just get you to bow your heads in prayer. I've been preaching a word to you to give you some encouragement in the depth of your heart. Maybe there's some of you this morning and you just need a bit of fresh forgiveness. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you've just done some stuff. You've been a Christian a long time, but you just need some fresh forgiveness. I know you might not be familiar with doing this in this church, but I'm going to treat you like you're in my church. And I want to ask you just to stand to your feet if that's you. If you're in need of some fresh forgiveness, just stand up right now. Just stand right up where you are in your seat. Backslider, person that needs to come back to Jesus Christ, maybe to come to Jesus for the first time. Come on, there could be others here. You just need some fresh forgiveness. quickly, quickly. I don't want to just labor on it. I just want to give you that opportunity. Thank you for having the courage to stand. Awesome. Right, as you're standing, just open your heart and just receive fresh forgiveness from God. Don't be the limiting factor. He offers you forgiveness unconditionally. You just got to receive it. Just receive it. I say, I accept and I receive your forgiveness right now for everything I've done wrong. Some of you just need a little bit of fresh faith to come into your heart. You got to realize that you've got some really difficult situations and you just need some power of the Holy Spirit, some dynamic power. If that's you this morning, why don't you stand as well? Just stand if that's you. You just need some power in some really challenging situations. Come on, there's other people all over this place. You're going through things. When you're standing, you're taking a step of faith. You're activating faith. You're standing on the outside, but you're standing on the inside as well. There's others of you that just need, you're lacking supply, resource, and you've been looking to yourself or you've been looking to something else to be the source of your provision, but you need God to intervene this morning. Come on, stand to your feet and say, that's me. I need your help this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you just need to be recipients of that love of God, to actually receive His love. If that's you, why don't you stand as well? Is there others that just need to stand? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Let me just pray for you all. Father God, there's many people standing for all different situations. We thank you that you're a God that loves us intimately, personally. You're the God that knows the number of hairs on our head. You're the God that conceived us before we were just a thought in your mind. You know us. You know all the days that were ordained for us before one of them came to be. God, that's the God that we serve. And I pray for every person that you would touch them individually at their point of need. There are people here that need fresh forgiveness. I can't give you forgiveness, but as a minister of the gospel of Christ, I say receive the forgiveness of God unconditionally into your lives and situations right now. In Jesus' name, be free in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those that have got incredibly tough situations that they're going through and they're facing in their lives. And they've tried to do it in their own strength. They've tried to work it out. But they're saying today they want to tap into ultimate power, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray you release the power they need as they get into fresh connection with you. As they hold your hand afresh, as they align themselves in your footsteps, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the power they need to hold on in faith for the victory that is theirs in Jesus Christ, whatever that looks like. But on the depth of their heart, in the depth of their heart, put something in there that causes them to rise up with faith in the power of God. Lord, I pray for those that are looking to you for provision. Thank you, Lord, that you're the source of provision. And sometimes us humans, we just get sidetracked. We think we're the ones that provide. We think something else is going to provide for us. But today we're just aligning ourselves back to you and saying, God, you're our source of provision. We look to you as the one that will provide. Lord, I pray that as your sons and daughters align themselves back to you, that you would meet their need in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for those that are just needing to know the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe they've been hurt in life. Maybe they've people haven't experienced what love is really like, and they're scared. They're holding you at arm's length. They don't want to draw close, but I pray you give them the courage to just draw closer to you today. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch them in their heart. And Lord, you would allow them to take that risk, that step of faith, and take a step towards you, just another step closer, where they can feel your love just a little bit more. And I pray that you would, Lord, captivate their heart and help them to come into that deep knowledge of you. And I ask your blessing over each person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can all be seated. I'm about to hand over, but I just want to pray for people that are sick. That's it, my last thing. If you're struggling with sickness in your life, just stand again. If that's you, if you've got sickness in your body, I just want to have a prayer of faith for you right now in your physical body. If you're ailing in some area, quickly stand. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Is there others here? Thank you, Lord. Just trust God. Just trust God. He can heal you. He can heal you. I've personally seen hundreds of people healed. Hundreds. Some miracles. And many times I've even done it on Skype and people have been healed. Seriously, God can do it. So just lift your eyes of faith. Have some faith here in God. Father God, I pray for each person who's standing right now. You know them intimately. You know their point of need in their physical bodies. I say in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, be healed. I command pain to stop, swelling to go down, stiffness to ease, every ligament and tendon to come back into divine order, every part of your body respond to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and I say be healed, made well, and restored to full health in Jesus' name.